Here's the key to all this. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions is not from the Father. Stop rationalizing it. Stop minimizing it. Stop trying to make excuses for it. Love in this form is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, you got to kill the sin here. What is worldliness? Worldliness is anything that diminishes or comes between our love for our God.
Welcome back to Live in the Light. We're so glad that you've dialed us in here today. Live in the Light is a radio ministry that preaches and teaches God's Word. In fact, we believe that radical transformation comes about through the revelation of God's truth. And the phrase Live in the Light comes from Ephesians 5, verse 8, which says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And a big part, in fact, a major part, of walking as children in the light is understanding how our hearts work and how they function. And that's what we've been talking about these past several days here at Live in the Light. We've been going in our series, Healthy Heart. And today, Robbie, it's all about fired up affections, right?
Yeah, it's understanding that so much of our heart is found in what we really seek after and what we really love. I mean, I'm convinced, and you know me, Craig, well enough to know this, that I think apathy is the number one killer of the church within our land. It's spiritual complacency. It's the lethargy. It's killing the church. And what is needed is the greatest commandment. It is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's the greatest commandment for a reason, because when we are fired up with affections for him, everything flows from there. And again, that's what constitutes the heart that is healthy. It's a heart in love with the Lord. I mean, some people come up to me and say, who should I marry, or what job should I take, or where should I live? And those are all great questions that pertains to God's will. But here's the most important starting point for God's will. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Seek him. Be filled with him. And when you do that, I like to tell people, then get back to me in a couple of weeks and let me know how life is going. Life won't be easier, but it will be better. It'll be so much better, because God promises that those who seek him and love him with all their heart, that they will truly be blessed. Loved ones, get your heart healthy, and you will have a heart that's fired up with affections for Jesus Christ.
All right, well, I'm excited and hope that you folk are as well. And it's a good time to remind you that this entire series on Healthy Heart is one of our foundational series here at Live in the Light. And we'd encourage you, if you'd like, to get a copy of this series. You can go online and visit our website at liveinthelight.ca, or you can phone us up at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-225-4448. Well, today, as Robbie said, it's a healthy heart, meaning fired up affections. Let's get right away to God's Word, and here again is Pastor Robbie.
It is a messed up, sick thing if we don't guard it according to the principles of the Word and allow God to renew us in this over and over again. Fired up affections for Christ channel pleasure into worship, but cold, hard hearts channel pleasure into idolatry. Now, that's the easy part of this text. Let's get to the hard part now, verse 16. Verse 16, we've got to guard our hearts here. Notice this. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. Here are three aspects of evil you must watch out for if you want a healthy heart in guarding your affections. Number one is this, the desires of the flesh. Watch out for the desires of the flesh. What are these? These are unrestrained desires for something forbidden. Unrestrained desires in our heart, in our flesh, for something forbidden. These are physical appetites. It could be food. Again, longing for food in such a way that it turns into something that is gluttonous. It could be comfort. You have an appetite. You are lusting, desiring after the flesh in comfort. That comfort or leisure becomes something that has become an idol in your life, or something you worship. God created for good. We spin it into an idol. It could be sleep. Do you know that sleep can be an idol in your life? You know, you can worship at the altar of your bed. If you say, if I don't sleep, my whole life is over. If I don't sleep, everything becomes about getting good sleep at night. And all of a sudden, what God has created again, which is good and restful, can actually become a source of laziness or idolatry over the very fact I need 8 hours or my whole life falls apart. That's what the heart can do, man. The heart is sick. How about sex? Of course. But God created something so good in its right state, so good and so pure in a home and of marriage, of a husband and a wife. That can be taken and that can be misconstrued. That can be taken and all those things can start happening. And then all of a sudden it takes what God has created and so good and that becomes immorality. It's happening all throughout our culture all the time. The desires of the flesh, watch out for these. The desires of the flesh, look out. You have to see this. What about substance abuse? Alcohol, not wrong by itself, but wrong in abuse. And the desires of the flesh that long to consume, or drugs, or whatever they are, and take us away. When we love these things, we are proving that we are not loving our Father. You have to see the flesh is always versus the Spirit. It's always a battle to take ground against the flesh every single day. Again, flesh takes hunger, turns it into gluttony. Flesh takes the sleep and turns it into laziness. Flesh takes the sex and turns it into immorality. Our flesh is irresistibly attracted to corruption and evil. It's just the way it goes. Desires of the flesh. Here's the second thing, desires of the eyes. Desires of the eyes. Here's another example of a love that God hates. Okay, I've never heard it expressed in that way until this week. I find that fascinating. Here is a love that God actually hates. God hates a love? Yes, he hates the love of the world. Because the love of the world, that love is not in the Father. You see that? This is a form of love that God hates because it's a love completely apart from him. The desires of the eyes, what is that? It's idolatry of the eyes. It's coveting. It's covetousness. It's, I see it, I want it, I must have it. You know that phrase, feast your eyes on this? Feast your eyes on this, baby. That's what it comes down to. This is what's going on here. It's a heart delighting through a sinful lens. So you're looking at something and you turn it into an idolatrous gaze. It's David over Bathsheba. David should be out fighting in battle, as kings were supposed to do at that time of year. But he's around his palace and he's walking around and he sees Bathsheba bathing. By the way, why is Bathsheba bathing in the sight of the king? You telling me she doesn't know where the king lives? You telling me she's not aware that he can see her? She knows very well what's going on. Okay, that's her own sin right there. But David, he goes and he looks, and through the desires of his eyes, he says, I must have that, I want that, I see it. And he does, and he ruins his life as a result of that. The idolatry of the eyes. I mean, how many people here right now, man, you're spending too much, you're spending any time. And you are gazing at screens you should not gaze at. You are allowing the idolatry of your eyes, the desires, the lusts of your eyes. Listen, that's not going to end well. There is no way that is ever going to produce a heart that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. The desires of the eyes, the lusts of the eyes, watch out for that. Watch out for that. This is why the psalmist on 119, and by the way, this is in your additional reading this week, and I hope you're taking advantage of that. He said, in verse 36, he said, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. And he says this, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. That's amazing. What a prayer for you right now. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways, man. You take your heart seriously, you're going to guard it. You're going to pray over it. The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes. Thirdly, this, pride in possessions. The pride in our possessions. What is that? It's this. This is pride and arrogance in what we own. This is finding our value through what we possess. This is everywhere. Ladies, men too. Ladies, men too. Think of when you go buy a new article of clothing or a new outfit. Could be a hat, could be a shirt, could be a blouse, could be a pair of shoes, could be a new pair of pants, could be something in jewelry, and you buy it. And if you're honest with yourself, your heart's saying, I can't wait to wear this because I can't wait to be noticed. I can't wait to show that person. I'm going to strut my stuff, and they're going to say, wow, nice shoes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. And again, you may never say that out loud, but in your heart, your heart's saying that. Your heart's like, come over here and you notice my outfit right now. Come on, go ahead. You tell me how good I look. So listen. That's the heart making an idol of something you possess. Loved ones, it's sick. Amen. And women. How many times do we seek to live in a certain type of house, in a certain type of neighborhood? Why? Because we want people to say they live in a certain type of house, in a certain type of neighborhood. That's sick. I mean, just put your heart on the table right now. Let God do surgery. How many things that I do and buy are my motivations in let me be noticed so I can feel special? How many of us buy cars we cannot afford so other people will see us in the cars we cannot afford that we think somehow we're special? That's sick, man. That happens all the time. You know what I thought about? A guy who buys an engagement ring for his fiance and buys a huge rock, and part of his motivations are other people come up and say, wow, that's a huge rock. That's not love for her. That's love for self and the idolatry of the heart. That's how wicked and sinful our hearts are. It's messed up. You got to guard your heart. You got to watch out what's going on and the things that you do and the things you want to accumulate and the thing. What is it really about? See, the Bible's saying right here, do not love the world or the pride in your possessions. So wouldn't you know it? Just this week, I went with a ministry friend. He was out of town. He rented a car. Must have gone upgrade because it was a really nice car. It was like a really nice car, at least in my eyes. And I drove with him. We went an hour to one place and we were done our mission. We came back and drove an hour. A lot of time with him. I was in this car and I was sitting there going, this is a really nice car. This is like fast. It's almost really smooth. It just feels like it's so well built and stuff. And you're in there and you notice all these gadgets and it's all these special features and GPS screen all there, whatever. And just again, a whole hour back, like, this is really nice. This is not, it's like, wow. Like all of my heart's saying, wow, like, you know, what does the heart do? The heart starts to say, how come I don't have a car like that? And this is like, this actually feels really good. And I would like to have buttons I could push like that and make my seat go back and up and all kind of stuff, you know. I would like that, you know. And what happens is I see my friend and I say bye to him. Nice to see you. And then I get in my car and I turn the keys of my car and all of a sudden it feels like I'm driving a horse and buggy. I'm just being honest with you. This is what happened to me this week. This is where my heart was at. All of a sudden, my car's great. My car works. It hasn't broken down on me. I have a couple of gadgets in it. There's nothing wrong with my car whatsoever. It's a great car. But all of a sudden, I started to notice everything my car wasn't. And I drove away, and the temptation in my heart was, why don't I deserve a nicer car? It took me 30 seconds to 1 minute of battling my heart to speak truth to my heart, to say, Robbie, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Are you kidding me, Robbie? Do you think that your worth or your value or the state of your life is found in the car you drive? Listen, the issue is not the car. The issue is here. You get that? The issue is not the car you drive. The issue is how you treat the car you drive as how you think about the car you drive. It's not the car. It's the heart. Amen. The heart's the problem. And I had to sit at a stop sign, preach to myself, and quickly kill the sin that rose up in a form of idolatry. And then I was good again. I was. By the time I got home, just a couple minutes away, totally fine, man. Killed that lie, moved on to what is true. You want to guard your heart? You got to take these things seriously. Like, this can happen in 1,000 different ways in one day. Again, what are your things? Are you aware? A healthy heart is aware and seeks to kill. You know what a good friend of mine said after last night's service? He said this to me, man. It's so profound to me. He said, you know what? Listening to this message, I have realized I have not only constructed idols in my home, I am teaching my children to worship them. I was like, let me write that down. You know? I mean, that is good. Because I hear that right away. I look at my life. What are the idols that I've constructed in my home? And am I teaching my kids to worship them? The answer is yes. You know, you see your kids do something and you're like, you get mad at them for doing something and then you stop and you're like, where did they learn that? Oh, they learned it from me. They learned it from us. See, this is the heart you got to guard, man. You got to watch out, because if you love the world, then here's the key. Here's the key to all this. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, the pride of possessions is not from the Father. Stop rationalizing it. Stop minimizing it. Stop trying to make excuses for it. Love in this form is not from the Father, but is from the world. See, you gotta kill the sin here. What is worldliness? Worldliness is anything that diminishes or comes between our love for our God. That's what worldliness is. Anything that is set up in your life that is diminishing your love for your Father is an idol. It's idolatry. It's worldliness. Why then? This is what I'm saying. Why do so many Christians find the Bible hard to read? Why do so many Christians have a hard time attending prayer meetings? Why do so many Christians have a hard time attending small groups that seem laborious? Why do so many Christians have a hard time coming to worship and are coming to church and worshiping with their hearts free with joy? Why do so many Christians seem to be in apathy and unable to really pursue? I think the number one answer to that question is worldliness. Simply because of this, because you have loved the Father more, or loved the world more than you've loved the Father. And if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Again, and let's just be honest. God sees all our hearts right. You can't fool him. You can't trick him. I've shared with you some of the things going on in my life. You got to share with God some of the things going on in your life right now. What are the sins? What are the idols? What are the lusts that are coming into your life and diminishing the love of the Father in your life? It's critical to deal with that. And don't miss the truth of verse 17 either. Verse 17, it says this, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." So do you see that there? Do you see that? You can miss it. Don't miss it. Here's the will of God again. Two consecutive weeks, the will of God is mentioned here. What's the will of God? Here's what the will of God is not. The will of God is not loving the world. To love the world is to invest in death. Notice that. The world is passing away along with its desires. The world's dead. It's going away. It's not going to last. But whoever does the will of God, what's the will of God in this context? It's the love of the Father. Again, the single greatest way you can pursue God's will for your life today and this week, love God, man. Love God. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love him with your life. Pursue him. Guaranteed to be in the will of God. And as you pursue that part of your life to love God, guaranteed you're in God's will, abiding forever. It lasts forever. Love the world, it dies. It's gone. Love God, it abides forever, and it is the will of God. Amazing how clear scripture is, and I'm excited, man. We're called to be fired up. We are warned to guard our affections. And number three, this. Well, now, I mean, what do we do about it? We do this. I need a plan. I must have a plan for my passion. So okay, Robbie, I'm called. I get that. Okay, I'm warned of what's going to take away my love for God. I get that. But what do I do, man? Like, what do I do? How do I take this now in a serious way? What kind of plan can I form to see the affections for Christ established in my life? Seven things from Psalm 84. Turn finally to Psalm 84. We're going to have seven principles from this psalm of how I grow my passion for Christ. One more place to turn. Guys are doing great. Seven principles we see. You're going to like these. They're exciting. This is a psalm of passion. This is a psalm of affection to God. And seven principles we'll see. Here's our plan of how I grow my affections for Christ. Number one is this. Ready? Get where God dwells. You want to grow your passion? Then get where God dwells. Verse 1 in Psalm 84 says, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts." That's great, man. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Now, he could not say this unless he has either been there or is there. Notice this. His passion is a result of God's presence. The psalmist here has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. So listen, if we want to grow in affection or passion for the Lord, we must get where God dwells. He loves where God dwells. Where does God dwell? God dwells in his word. Are you in his word? God dwells in his church. Are you in his church? Really? Are you growing in his church? God loves his glory. Are you about God's glory? Are you about self-glory? God loves his holiness. God loves holiness. God loves the humble. God dwells with the humble. Are you pursuing humility, or has there been pride there? Get where God dwells is the plan for action. I will prioritize my life as a result. Leads us into principle number two. Love where God lives. You got to love where God lives. Verse 2. My soul longs. He loves it, man. Yes, faints. He's passionate, man. For what? For what? For the courts of the Lord. He loves where God lives. This is passion here. He is resolved to live a life in what God loves. Why does he do this? Here's why. Because he believes that his greatest satisfaction and his greatest purpose is found in the Lord himself. Because he believes that so much, then everything in his life then is prioritized. His love for his God sets the menu for his life. See, again, you will feed on that which you hunger for. We say all the time around here, if you're hungry for food, you go to the fridge. If you're hungry for the Lord, man, you go where he is and you love where he lives. You go to his word, you go to his church, you go for him. You go for him in prayer. You gotta love where God lives. Here's number three, sing with God's joy. You wanna grow in passion? Here's your plan, sing. Sing with God's joy. Verse 2, my soul longs, yes, faints, courts the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Notice, out of the overflow of his love come songs of praise. See that? His soul, his heart, and his flesh sing for joy out of the overflow of his heart. Now, this is why I've always been passionate about this church being a singing church. I want so much for us to be a singing church. Why? Well, because it's one of the greatest indicators that we get what Jesus Christ has done for us. I mean, it's amazing how often the Bible talks about the importance of singing and in praise and in song. And see, you can't go to the cross of Jesus Christ. You can't truly draw near and stay proud. You can't truly draw near to the cross of Jesus Christ and see your Savior mocked, spit upon, beaten, nails in, hands and feet, crucified, bearing the wrath of God, the earth goes dark, the rocks split. You can't sit there and look at this horrific death of a perfect Son of God for your sins and remain unfazed. This is why the gospel is one of the greatest plans of seeing your affections for Jesus Christ. You got to preach yourself the gospel. You got to rehearse the gospel over and over again because you got to get to the cross and you got to look up and you got to see my sin killed him. And when you see that your sin killed Jesus Christ, that doesn't make you proud. That breaks you. And when you are broken, you are a mess. You are a puddle on the ground, renewed in your Savior's sacrifice, his reconciliation, his redemption, and his love. Listen, for you, when he deserved none of this, we deserved all of it. And all of a sudden you sit there and you say, I deserve death. I've been given life. I was totally blind. Now I can see. I am nothing. Christ is everything. He died. I live. I worship. You see, it's the overflow of the cross of Jesus Christ that you come in here, and if you get this, you're not allowing the songs we sing to just go over your head and have no effect. That's impossible because you're so aware of who you were and who you are now that you then burst forth with praise and song. So my prayer is in this church, man, all the time, people will walk in here who don't know what's going on here, and they will be like, what's up with these people? I mean, why are they so fired up? Why do they sing so loud? I want the majority of our people to make other people who aren't that way feel uncomfortable. That's good. I will take that any day because that's the way it should be. I want the peer pressure going in the direction of fired up over the gospel in songs of praise for my Savior because he has given me everything. So listen, I implore you, come ready to sing. You know how special it is when the Church of Jesus Christ gathers? This is a special event week in, week out. This is where God shows his glory, man. This is where it's all about. This is not just some routine we're in. This is the bride of Jesus Christ. Think he cares about this? Yes. Yes. Do you think he cares that we come in and sing to him? Yes. Do you think he's aware of the fact that we come in and we're more about thinking about lunch than we are about his glory? Yes. This all matters to him. And so that's why you want to plan for passion. You got to plan to sing for joy to your God. Number four, this. Here's your plan. Strive in God's strength. Strive in his strength. Look at verse 5. Oh, by the way, verse 4 is another verse of singing. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Ever sing in your praise. I don't feel like singing. Well, then you don't fit in. All right? And verse 5. Verse 5 says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. Notice that. You're blessed. And those whose strength is in you. Notice the word heart in this verse too. This verse is a pursuit in God's strength for God's strength. See verse 7? Those who go from strength to strength. So God, I strive in your strength. That's a great plan for passion. And I strive for your strength. See that? It's your strength in me that allows to carry me on to have more of your strength. That's a great plan for passion. Every day wake up, man, begging God for his strength. Leads us into principle number 5. Pray what God would pray. Pray what God would pray. Verse 8 says, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. He's desperate for this. Behold, verse 9, behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. Hey, you want passion? Pray for your heart then. Pray for your heart to have passion. Here's a great question. How many times this week have you prayed over your heart according to this series? How many times? See, if your answer is zero, you don't get it. Like, if you're not doing something about this absolutely fundamental series in your Christian life, then you don't get it. I mean, I can't say it any other way. The healthy heart understands this is everything. And the healthy heart then begs God to change their heart. Here's another thing. Are you still breathing? Well, then God's still listening. All right? And if he's still listening, one of the lies that always goes around right now is saying, well, Pastor Robbie, you could be fired up in this way, or that person, or that way, but I can't live that life. Wrong, wrong. I hate that lie so much. In Jesus' name, that lie's done, okay? Yes, it can be you. You can be the next person that will gain the attention of other people. Why is she so fired up? She's so fired up, man. And just like, well, because you're in love with Jesus Christ. You can be that next person. So if you're hearing right now, and you're hearing any form of, oh, it's not you, it's someone else. Lie, lie, lie. If you're still breathing, your God's listening. Ask him for this to grow in your life. Pray what God would pray. 6, prize what God prizes. Prize what God prizes. Verse 10, favorite verse. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is so great. The lowest position in the house of God is infinitely better than the highest and greatest position in our world. This means I hate sin, I love God. This means I hate sin, I love Christ. And here's our last principle. You want to plan for passion? Do this then. Believe in God's blessing. Believe in his blessing. Verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun shield. The Lord bestows favor. Amen. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Man, there's a promise to claim. No good thing does he withhold from those who have a healthy heart, from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Okay, hey, listen, listen. If you plan for passion, then you better prepare for blessing, because that's what happens. If you plan to love God with all your heart, then you better prepare for God's blessing as God decides upon your life. When it comes to the affections of my heart, I am called to be fired up, I am warned to be on guard, and I am called to make a plan for passion. So we just got that plan. So the last question is, what are we waiting for? God, do it in our midst.
Well, certainly with a message like we have heard today from God's word, there's bound to be some good, solid conviction. But with conviction, we hope that you also see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ available to you today for those of you who would turn from your sin and find Jesus Christ and his forgiveness again today. Apart from him, we can do nothing. We recognize that here at Live in the Light. And listen, if God's been changing you and growing you or even challenging you, particularly today, and you'd like a copy of today's message to let that soak a little more, we'd encourage you to visit us online at liveinthelight.ca, liveinthelight.ca. And hey, while you're there, why not drop a comment and let us know how we can be praying for you. That's liveinthelight.ca. Or you can visit us through our phone number at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-5448. Well, that's all for today here at Live in the Light. We hope to see you next time. And God bless.